Tuesday, November 6th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. On the grains, the Chinese tariff on U.S. soybeans was designed to hit up Trump political constituency. 96% of U.S. soybeans are grown in 18 states, and 16 of them were won by Trump in the 2016 election. China also took out a four-page ad in the Des Moines Register to argue their case. They have a dog in the race in this election. That is why the Trump administration offered up the tariff relief payment to counter the financial pressure that China was putting on the Farm Belt. China will be following the election result very closely to decide if they need to change their trade war strategy. A recent poll showed that 55% of farmers still supported Trump. That is probably down 10 points from the 2016 election. We'll find out if that is enough to tip any congressional races. The rural areas are 10 points down and urban areas 10 points up. The GOP would have a rough election. A resounding blue wave will reduce the mandate for trade wars. If the GOP outperforms election expectations, Trump will double down on his trade war with China. Xi Jinping used an import trade fair as a platform to publicly promote opening China's market further to consumer goods. China has used many forms of trade barriers to block free trade relative to imports. 3,600 companies from 152 countries attended their trade fair. Based on their performance relative to adherence to the WTO, they have made promises before that were not kept. China will make concessions, but will they offer enough for Trump, or will they adhere enough to them for compliance? While putting tariffs on U.S. goods in retaliation to U.S. tariffs, China has reduced tariffs to other trade partners. It will be a tough meeting in Argentina between Trump and Xi Jinping late November. Alibaba founder Jack Ma, who is reputed to be the wealthiest man in China, warned the trade war could last 2 decades. That contrasts badly with some U.S. commodity advisors who said that it would last 2 months. The U.S. and China will go ahead with security talks that have been delayed. These talks will be about the South China Sea, Taiwan, and other issues outside of trade, where the United States and China have been chafing. It's a good thing they're talking about something. The U.S. and China may or may not be serious about putting an end to their trade war, but China appears to be preparing for the long haul if an agreement escapes them. Informa says that Chinese hog producers are reducing soy meal and feed rations from 20% to 10 to 12%. These may not be the most efficient feed rations, but they will utilize what feedstuffs they have and can acquire outside the United States. China boosted their feed grain production, producing surpluses, and they will rebalance domestic production toward more protein. They'll also diversify their plant protein imports, increasing imports of rapeseed, sunflower meal, palm cake, and even peas, while buying 80% of the Brazilian soybean crop. They're not going to settle on a trade agreement with the United States because of any dependence on U.S. soybeans. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. The USDA updates their balance sheet Thursday. The trade is looking for a corn carryover of 1.773 billion bushel, off from 1.813 in the last report. The trade is looking for a soybean carryover, 898 million bushel, up from 885 in October. They're looking for slight reductions in both corn and soybean yields. We think the USDA has the corn yield overstated and a larger downward adjustment is in order. I'm still bullish corn until the Brazilian corn crop is made. As a general statement, soybean yields met expectations while corn yields did not. They say that they were piling soybeans on the ground in North Dakota because they could not move the harvest due to the trade war. I don't know many who have piled soybeans outside and not later regretted it, but maybe they have it covered in the basis. The cost flows back to the farmer. Here we have lots of storage space due to the short corn crop. Elevators are not getting full and little to no corn will be stored outside. I was told of an elevator in Minnesota that had built outside bunkers that will remain empty. I think the USDA has been tracking a phantom corn crop in southern Minnesota, northern Iowa that is not there. I think that the November corn yield could be a bullish surprise. I remember 1993 when farmers knew they had a bad crop due to wet conditions, and it took until the November report that year before the USDA found out and reported how bad it was. While knowing that Nebraska and others did produce record crops, the USDA has them at records in too many places where the harvest was disappointing. I think that the USDA Iowa corn yield is bushels too high. This is not 1993, but a reflection of it. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.